My part is to go through just the rest of this, where it says, then we will no longer be infants. What does no longer mean, except that we are or we were? So it's talking about motion. It's talking about progress. It's talking about from here to there. So as we minister to one another, we reach this incredible unity. And as we walk in that unity, we become more mature in Christ. And as we become more mature in Christ, then we'll no longer be infants. What do infants look like? Well, he tells us, tossed about by the waves and carried around by every wind and teaching, by every clever cunningness of men in their deceitful schemes. Understand this. There are a lot of teachers, doctrines, things floating around out there. And you can easily succumb to any of those and go, oh, I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know what it means. Yeah, you do. You got the Holy Spirit and you've got the Word. And the Bible implores us to be workmen of the Word, able to rightly divide the Word of truth. That's our, we have a kids program called Awana. You ever heard of that? Awana? You've heard of that. It's like fun. And they learn verses. And do you know what Awana stands for? A workman approved, not ashamed. Isn't that great? They learn verses. They have a lot of fun, but they learn verses. We all ought to be a workman approved, not ashamed. What does it mean, not ashamed? Able to rightly divide the word of truth. I'll give you two divisions you must know. There's an old covenant and there's a new covenant. Bam! There's a division right there. And if you're not able to rightly divide the word of truth, you're going to make a ton of mistakes. When you see how God is working, God is always the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And yet how he chooses to work is quite different through the course of time. And it says in Ephesians 3 that all of a sudden he revealed a mystery that had not been revealed before, and it was you. Jew, Gentile, together in this new creation, this thing that had never been before. Not just the fact that there was Jew and Gentile and they were separated by their respective beliefs. He didn't just say, let's get along. He just said, let's be done with that and let's create this new thing. And the new thing is the church. Why is it so new? Well, because there's no wall of hostility. We now have access to the Holy of Holies, to the very holy place of God, where the Ark of the Covenant is, where God's Shekinah presence is. We have access to that now, which they never had before this. At the cross, all this took place. So at the cross, God connected us to him and connected us to each other. You see the cross? It's both vertical and horizontal. And so now there's this one new man, and what he wants is unity there. You've got to have unity, because what the enemy's looking to go, no, I thought when we crucified him, we won. No, he won. When we crucified him, he broke down the wall of hostility. He broke down the curtain, the veil that separates us from the holiness of God. And now we, through that veil, can step right through. We have access to the Holy of Holies, to the Shekinah glory of God, to the throne of grace. Straight there. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to, in any way, you can't earn it. It's a gift given to you by God. And Satan is like, I didn't see that one coming. Didn't see it coming. That's why it was kept a mystery for all those years. It's like, ha, ha, ha. There you go. Amazing. So now, he commands us to maintain the unity of the Spirit. He didn't say, go create the unity of the Spirit. He said, maintain it. What does that mean? That means that's who we are. That's who we are. We're unified in Christ. We're unified by those gifts. We're unified by the connected. We're unified by the blood of Christ. We're unified by the reality that now we all stand before the throne of grace, accepted, approved, and empowered by him. He not only commands us to do these things, he empowers us to do them. So now we're no longer under law. We're under this new thing called grace, where, you think of the law of supply and demand. God's demanding this, demanding that, demanding that. That's old covenant. Now we're under grace, where it's supply, supply, supply. Your holiness is God. Right? That's amazing. So now it isn't because of your good deeds. It's not because you're under the law. It's because he just dumped grace on you. Now you're holy in his eyes. I mean, that's amazing. So the enemy wants to destroy this thing called the church. He wants to destroy this thing called the bride of Christ, and he wants to dismantle it. And how's he going to do it? What's the most powerful way to do that? To cause division. And so God is very, very protective of his bride, and he tells us what we must do to maintain that unity. We don't have an option. So we're in a situation right now where our good friend, who we love and enjoy very much, and I don't mean to make an example, and I definitely don't mean to cause any gossip, because this isn't gossip. We're the family of Christ. We're dealing with an issue that's very important. Right now, we're doing something that you've read about, you may not ever have experienced, and this is what the Bible commands. So we don't have an option. We're doing what's called church discipline. It's when we come and say, look, you can't divide the body of Christ. You just can't do that. The body of Christ is sacred, it's holy, and unity in the body of Christ is everything. If you have a difference with somebody in the body, what does Matthew 18 tell us to do? He gives us an exact prescription, exactly a four-step prescription. You go to that individual, share with him what's going on. If he doesn't buy into it, you go with some friends. If he doesn't buy into it, then you go with some elders, meaning the church, the leadership. If he doesn't buy into it, then you go, you can't come back in. You're causing disruption and division. But here's the four-step process, and you go through it. If he chooses not to repent or respond, you got a problem on your hands. Throughout Scripture, and you'll see this over and over and over, various people who Paul calls out, Alexander the coppersmith, Diotrephes, various people are being used of Satan to bring division in the body of Christ. Now, remember Matthew 18 or Matthew 16, where Jesus says, who do men say that I am? Well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Moses, some say you're this and that. And then Peter says, no, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Remember that? Awesome, Peter. Unbelievable. Yes, you're right. Only the Holy Spirit could have shown you that, right? He gets it. Amen. And then he says some wonderful things about the kingdom. And then he says, and you know, I'm going to go to the cross. It's going to be a bad thing, but that's where I'm heading. And Peter says, no, may it never be. And he says, what? Get thee behind me, Satan. What? We're talking just 10 verses. So you go to Matthew in verse 13, Matthew 15, verse 13, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Only the Spirit could have given thee to you. And then 10 verses later in 23, he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Well, that's the end of his relationship with Peter. Peter was on board and now he's not. Is that how it worked? No. And Peter says, oh, my bad. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Now, Peter blew it several times. You remember Peter. They call him the apostle with the foot-shaped mouth because he's constantly sticking his foot in his mouth. And yet the Lord says, Peter, remember Peter denied him three times that terrible night? And every time Peter's warming himself by a fire, Jesus is being tried and being abused. And he says, you know, you're going to deny me three times this night before that the cock crows three times. And when that happened, I can see Peter warning himself. He says, you're one of those Galileans. You're one of them. No, I'm not. And he cusses. Whatever. He said something very profoundly. It was like, so he could say, I'm not one of those guys. I am one of you guys. And he showed himself. What? And he totally distinguished himself as not a follower of Christ. And it was a little girl that was saying it to him. I've seen him with them. No, it isn't. So you see Peter separating himself from God and saying, no. But then it says he looked and he saw the Lord looking at him. He felt it in his heart. And he went out and he wept bitterly. And he's like, I blew it. I could not stand for Christ at his greatest time of need. I wasn't there. How many of us has made stupid mistakes? How many of us can look at Peter and go, thank God he gave us a Peter, because it helps me to know that he loves somebody just like me. Thank God he gave us a David who broke the Ten Commandments. On every single commandment he broke, and yet he said, look, this is a man after my own heart. We're not talking about whether he has a heart after God. We're not talking about whether is one of us. We're not talking about that. We're talking about momentarily we can be used of Satan to bring division into the body of Christ, and he wants unity more than anything else. There's only three things that will keep us out of the church. He deals with current, active, unrepentant sexual sin. He deals with teaching profoundly and unrepentantly false doctrine, and he deals with division. And division to him is the greatest divider of the body, the greatest threat to the body. And he works hard, and you'll find many places where he deals with division. Peter saying, may it never be, get thee behind me, Satan. He recognized what was happening there. He recognized Satan wanting to cause division, wanting to get Christ's eyes off of the goal and onto himself and man. No, may it never be. We love you. We don't want you to go. Yeah, I feel the same way. No, get thee behind me. I know what I'm called to. In the same way, we're called to unity. We're called to grow in Christ. We're called to be unified. We're called to be one. A lot of us feel very uncomfortable standing against brothers and sisters when they do dumb, stupid, divisive things. It's tough. You're sitting in a Bible study, and all of a sudden somebody starts talking smack about what we're teaching or about the pastor or about the elders, and you go, you know, or you jump in and go, yeah, I feel the same way. You know, that's Satan. Our job is to say, no, get thee behind me, Satan. You got issues with an elder. You got issues with the pastor. You got issues with our doctrine, or you got issues with our practice. Go talk to them. Our door is wide open. You'll always get an audience, and you'll get it fast, because we don't want division in the church, and we want communication. And so the Bible tells us that that's how we are to function. And we are 1,000% committed to that. You got a question. You don't understand why we teach grace, and that's a big problem for a lot of people. They don't understand that. What do you mean grace? Well, we teach that we don't have a sin nature, that was nailed to the cross. We've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, but the life we now live is the Son of God living through us. We teach Galatians 2:20. We teach many other passages. There are hundreds of passages that teach this transformed life. And yet the standard church teaching will not embrace that. Why? Because people push back. Well, I know I have a sin nature. I know that's what I wrestle with sin every day. Well, then you better wake up and find out what your identity is. You shouldn't be wrestling with sin. Satan was already defeated at the cross, and God already eradicated that. He killed your old nature, your old man. It's gone. Romans 6:6. Eradicated. So who are you? You're a saint that happens to make mistakes. You're a saint that happens to do dumb things now and then. You're a saint who has a free will, and you're allowed to use it. Thank you, Lord. We were just talking about that this morning. It's so, you know, sometimes I wish I were a robot, just programmed to do holiness. Wouldn't that be marvelous? But I'm not that. I'm a human being that God has given freedom and opportunity to make choices. And when I make choices that are in keeping with his will and desire for me, it goes well for me. Not because God will zap me, but because he gives us those rules to protect us and provide for us. That's what the Ten Commandments are. They're protection and provision. Imagine a guy that's worked his whole life to be an Olympic swimmer, and he's lined up at the pool, and they're ready to go, and just before they fire the gun and we all jump in and do our thing, somebody goes, "Hey, why do we got to have all these rules and structure? That's so dumb. Why don't we just line up wherever?" So they line up around the pool, and then they shoot the gun. How's that going to go? Well, it's going to be a mess. Nobody's going to win. They're going to knock each other out, whatever. So he says, no, here's your lane, swim in it. And in that lane, you've got freedom. In that lane, you've got opportunity. In that lane, you can really let the gifts show. You can be who I've designed you to be. Bam! I don't want anybody crossing over that lane. I don't want anybody causing you to sink. I want you to have this opportunity, and that's the Ten Commandments. This is the lane. And now, instead of it being written on stone and put on some wall somewhere, it's written on your heart. The Ten Commandments is who you is. I know that's not good grammar. R. She's over there going, no. Listen, you are saints if you're in Christ. If you're not in Christ, we have a different discussion to have. We want to see you get saved. And that's our goal, is to see you get saved. To see you to know Jesus, to walk in Jesus, to find this groove, to find this unity with others, to find this unity in the Spirit, and to find the gifts that he's placed within you, and to see those gifts come out, and to watch him use you to bless and strengthen the body of Christ, and to see the body of Christ grow into this deep unity and affect the world. They will know we're Christians by what? Our love one for another. And when you do divisive things, when you do stuff that separates and scandalizes, scandal, That's where we get the word. It's a scandal. And when you do stuff, it's the bait of Satan. When you do stuff that can get people into a trap, it's not good. And so we, as elders, our job is to protect you. Our job is to provide for you and protect you in Christ. And we're going to watch this stuff. We're going to teach the best we know. We're going to teach the truest, clearest doctrine of God, even if it's uncomfortable and even if people make fun of us or even if people attack us. We're still going to stand true, and we're going to teach the Word of God the way the Word of God's meant to be taught. And when people go, "Nah, I don't like that, you have an option. There's the door. Now come and sit with us and show us if we're wrong, because like Paul said, the Bereans would listen, receive the word, take it home, examine the word, and determine if what Paul was teaching was accurate and within the bounds of Scripture. And he said, "I love those Bereans. They're more noble than everybody, because they're searching the Scriptures and they're seeing if what we're teaching is right or wrong." And how many times have I said that? Challenge me. Search the word. See if what I'm saying is true or not true. And I've had many of you say, "Can I come in and talk? Or can we go to coffee?" Yeah. My hope, my dream, my passion, and my calling by God is to help you grow in your walk with God. And the more you know the truth, the more you can walk in it. Know the truth will set you free. Don't know the truth, you're messed up. You know, I've said before, if you don't know your rights, you don't have any rights. If you don't know your identity, the enemy can teach you anything he wants. "Well, I'm just a sinner. I'm just a human being." Nope, not true. You're a saint and you have a divine nature. Now you're a dual party, a dual person. You've got human and divine in you. And if you don't know that, let's talk. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, we are partakers of the divine nature. Whew! That little verse is so often overlooked when people do a teaching on 2 Peter. It's the most powerful verse in the whole thing. This is who you are. You are not just a human, just struggling, you know, "The devil made me do it." No. Come on, man. Know your identity. Walk in that identity. Be who you are. When we see people who really bristle under the teaching of grace, and they go about and they don't like what I'm teaching, because if what I'm saying is true, you can't blame anybody else but yourself for your failures and your sin, because you've been set free. And you can't go, "Well, I'm just a human." No. Your human nature was destroyed, nailed to the cross. It is no more. "Well, then what is that?" "Well, you got flesh. Flesh is your body with its desires and passions. And sometimes it desires stuff you probably shouldn't have right now. You know, sometimes my kids want candy. Sometimes we have a little candy. But imagine if I let them go ahead and do whatever they want anytime they want. It'll destroy them. So we have rules. We have structure. In the same way, that's what we need. We're saints, but we can't just do anything, anytime. You know, all things are permissible. That's what Paul says. You can do anything you want, but not all things are profitable. Don't you want to do what's profitable? Absolutely. That's what we're all about, is walking in our identity and doing what's profitable for the body, for myself, and for others. Right? So we're going to stand for that. Now, there are people who, when they hear the gospel of grace, they get mad. "Yeah, I do too have a sin nature. Why do you want to fight for that? Because why else am I doing such stupid things?" Because you're making bad choices. You do have free will, and all things are permissible, but not all things are profitable. Now, a non-believer, they don't have a choice. They're going to sin. That's all they do. They don't have a choice. They're going to walk in sin. Believers have a different nature, man. We're a new thing. There's never been anything like us before. So when you go out into the world and you rub shoulders with people at restaurants or at work or wherever you go, you need to understand these people are strangers, in the sense they're part of a different country. You're an ambassador for Christ. You represent heaven. You represent the glories of God, and you are filled with the Spirit, and you walk with power and authority. And so look around you. You have the authority and power to change every circumstance you walk into. That's pretty powerful. I like Luke 10:19 that says he's given us authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. He can in no ways harm us. You're not just a victim waiting around and the enemy's taking pot shots at you. Ooh, got another one. Ooh, got another one. Ooh, there goes another. It says Satan roams around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8, right? And the question is, are you devourable? Well, in Christ, no. I have everything I need for life and godliness. Right? 2 Peter 1:3. That's exactly who you are. But here's the deal. You can choose not to walk in that. You have the full armor of Christ. It's Jesus. But you can choose to step outside of that, and now you are devourable. So who are you? Well, we want you to know your identity. We want the church to be solid and strong and powerful and to represent Jesus, not just represent social, cultural Christianity. Do you know what I mean? A lot of churches are social, cultural churches. They're not really teaching the gospel. They're not holding people's feet to the fire. They're not willing to teach the gospel, the Bible, the Word of God, the way it's meant to be taught. And they'll let a lot of things pass and slip and slide because they don't want to offend anybody. I'll tell you, you want to see some offensive people, take a look at Paul. Take a look at Jesus. Take a look at John the Baptist. Highly offensive. Why? Because they were teaching the truth. And God's called us to teach the truth. Now, when we teach the truth and we teach the gospel of grace, there are people who will say, that's not true. That's not true. I don't believe that. There are some who have said that we teach that Christians can't sin. Have we ever taught that? Not even one time. Of course Christians can sin. That's why we're talking about this. We want Christians to know their identity and not sin. You don't have to sin. Do you have to sin? No. Can you sin? Any day, anytime you want. What's going to keep you from sin? Knowing God, knowing the truth. The truth will set you free. You're not tangled up in that stuff. Now, having said that, Jesus made it very clear that he can't stand the gospel of grace. He's into law. And law hasn't gone away. Law's always been with us, and we're going to keep preaching law, and law is what we're all about. And if we don't keep the law, then we're not Christians. Not true. Not true, not true, not true, and I'll give you 30 or 40 verses to show that that's not true. I've got it on paper if you want to take it home with you. You are not under law. The law was done away with. It was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Now you're under grace. God's not sitting up in heaven watching you and very disappointed, and he's not playing a game of whack-a-mole. Just try it. Just try it. He's not doing that. God's in heaven blessing you, and when he sees you do stupid stuff, he's like, and it says that his heart is broken. Not like, oh, I can't believe Mike is that stupid. That's not what it means. It means, oh, I can't believe he did something dumb. It's going to hurt. That's going to leave a mark. It's sad. And you have the freedom to do dumb things, and it will leave a mark. And it'll hurt you, and it'll hurt those you love. It'll hurt the image of Christ. It'll hurt a lot of things, but you have that choice. That's what it means when it aches the spirit, grieves the spirit. Not, oh, I thought Mike was beyond that. No. He knows that I'm not beyond that, except in Christ. Only in Christ am I beyond that. But God is not disappointed when you blow it. He's disappointed because it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt those you love. That's the disappointment. Like, oh, I was trying to protect you from that. Oh, not again. Ooh. That's the disappointment. I hate to see you in pain. I hate to see you paying a price for something I already set you free from. You get that? That's the heart of God. That's passion. So, why are we talking about this thing? I think this will pass. I think it's a momentary thing. It's not a problem. But it says go to a brother, you know, try to reason with him. And okay, we've done that. And then try to meet with the elders. He won't meet with the elders. Last week, we had a scuffle here in the middle of the church meeting, which stinks. I wish that never happened. And I'm responsible for that. In that, as soon as I saw that he was upset, as soon as I saw that he was coming at me, I should have said, I'm out of here. I told him, I don't want to have this discussion here. Let's go to my office or let's reschedule it. But he was insistent. No, I want it. I said, you're shouting. His wife said, you're shouting. And he said, good, because I want everybody to know that you're a false teacher. You're a liar. You're divisive. I'm like, whoa. If you weren't here, thank God. Because I don't like this kind of situations. They make me sweat. They make me tired. They make me shake. I'm like, what is this? It's the enemy. I don't fault for that. I see what the enemy's doing. I should have, looking back, isn't it amazing how clear we see things after the fact? Oh, God, I wish I saw stuff. What's that? 2020, man. It's 2010. And I look at that and go, As soon as I saw that rationality, reason wasn't working, and I think Dave's gifted with this, I'm not. I should have said, you know what, I love you, brother. I'm leaving. And I should have left the building. Get out of here. I didn't do that. I thought I could reason with him and bring him down. What does that end up doing? It brings him up. It jacks everything up because now you got a fight on your hands. And what we were fighting about is we'd already had this talk. We'd already sent letters. We'd already been in communication for a lot of things. I said, the elders want you so much to sit down with us. And we'll go over every issue you have. I mean, fine tooth comb it. If it takes 15 hours, we're here to do that. Because we want to love you. We want to grow together. And if you've got issues that we're unaware of, I mean, if you've got things that we're doing that we're blind to our own stupidity, sin, or whatever, if we're teaching doctrine wrong, if we're our lifestyle's wrong, whatever, man, bring it on. Because we don't care about being right. We care about being accurate. And there's a big difference. If you need to be right, you're in trouble. I don't mind being wrong. In fact, if you can show me where I'm wrong, I grow, right? Every time somebody shows me where you're wrong, you get better. So I'm not afraid of being wrong. I am afraid of being inaccurate. I don't want to mishandle the word of God, able to rightly divide the word of truth, not ashamed because you know the word. So I say, come and meet with us, man. You got a beef. And he finally reveals he's had this beef for a year. I got a lot of things against you. What? Mostly because I teach grace and I teach holiness. So he's mad at me because I don't embrace the LGBTQ plus. I don't embrace that. Do I love those people? Absolutely. I don't have a problem loving people that are caught in sin. But I'm going to call it like the Bible says. That sin, it's destructive. It'll kill you. He's mad at me for having said that. I think AA is a wonderful program. It's helped some people. I think overall, AA stinks. Why? Because they teach, hi, I'm Mike, I'm an alcoholic. Where's the transformation? We teach, hi, I'm Mike, I was an alcoholic, I've been set free, and now I'm a saint. That's a big difference. I teach the transformational power of Jesus, not the 12-step program or the big book or Bill W. I don't teach that stuff. I teach your true identity in Christ, and I challenge you to walk in that and get rid of that stuff. And the other thing about AA that I really have a trouble with, it says, pray to your higher power. Who is that? Anything you want. What's the heart and soul of that statement? Demonism. There is no Jesus. There's no truth. Why don't you teach the people Jesus? Bill W.? Bill W. is the founder of AA. Why don't you teach them who they are in Christ? Why don't you teach them? So Betsy and I have had some opportunities to speak at some of these AA meetings, and we teach the truth. And the people afterwards line up to ask us questions. Why haven't I been told that before? Why? And they get free right while we're standing there. I've been 30 years at AA. I got my 30-year coin. I'm 30 years dry, and I've never been set free. Still worried, one day at a time, every day, having their little coin and trying to get, you know what the coin is and all that? And it's wonderful. Staying dry, I love it. And sometimes having a sponsor-sponsee relationship and keeping that coin, and those are good things, except what ends up happening at 30 years? What are you saying? I am dry. I have not drunk. I. Now they'll recognize there's a higher power and all that, but it's an I thing, and I got to do it, and you got to do it. No. How about this? I'm dead. Jesus is doing this. That's freedom. I don't have a problem with AA. I have a problem with the lying doctrine that's in there that the enemy likes to get in. He says, I have a problem with the homeless because I've disparaged homelessness. I do have a problem with the homeless, not the individuals. I love the individuals. I worked for 2 years on the street up in Olympia, going from camp to camp to camp. They're wretched places where there's needles all over the ground. There's people strung out all over the place, living in these lean-to shacks and all that. And we've delivered food there, laid hands on people and prayed for them, done all kinds of ministry in these homeless camps, only to realize I was the problem. Because these people don't want to get out of there. I'm not talking about everybody. Don't hear me wrong. I got to know somewhere around 100 guys really well, by name. I'd go down on Thursday night, we'd preach the gospel on Thursday night, play the guitar, preach the gospel, and we'd have trailers. Each trailer had a different function. This one was men's clothes. This was women's clothes. This was personal items. This was warm and stay dry items. This was new boots, new shoes. And this was get a haircut. And this was medical items. And this was preach the gospel. So we had those eight trailers. And it was fun. We'd get down there and we'd meet these guys. And after doing that for a year, I'd see the same guys there over and over and over and over and over. And I'd tell a guy, you know what, you can get out of here just like that. How? We've got a ministry up here. And this ministry, if you go to it, they'll give you a bed, a phone number. They'll give you access to all you need to write a resume, all that. We'll get you off the street right now. Do you want it? No. In all that time, in all those nights, only one guy said yes. So I took him to Gethsemane, which was about an hour and a half drive at night, dropped him off there, and before morning, he'd already left. Why? Because they ask you to make a commitment that you're not going to drink or do drugs while you're there. Forget that. And almost everybody that I worked with on the street was young and virile, could work, they could have a job. Almost everybody. Why are you on the street? Well, I get to know their backstory, because my dad's mean, because I don't like working a job. Because, can you know what it's like to work every single day? You know, yeah, of course I do. I don't want to do that. Okay, I get it.
And the state gives them money.
And the state gives them a food card and gives them this and that and the other and all their medical attention. They don't give me that. I see us as causing that problem, right? So I stopped working with that program. Like, forget it. I will work with a program that preaches the gospel and that brings the people off the street, but I'm not going to go down there and play patty cake down on 4th and State Street every Thursday night. No, not doing that anymore. So I see a lot of those guys, what happened to you? How come you're not here? Because you're a liar. You don't want to be fixed. You just want to eat the food that we give you and get the benefits. You want to get off the street? I'll get you off the street right now. So I don't like that, and I don't like that our state programs promote this. We have a place where you can come and get a shower, you can come and get deloused, and all kinds of stuff. They won't go down there. Why? Because it requires you to commit to a program. They're not going to do it. So there are some truly messed up people down there that are mentally deranged or demon-possessed. Those are real things. That's what we need to focus on. We need to have programs that deal with that. Do I have a problem with the homeless? No. I have a problem with these kind of programs, which make you feel good because you get $20 to the guy, or you went down there and served in the soup kitchen. That's not going to help anybody, but makes you feel good. I went down to the soup kitchen, and I go every Thursday. Dude, stop fooling yourself. Let's get some help for these people, and the help is Jesus Christ. Amen? That's it. So, no, I don't have a problem with the homeless. I have a problem with the way we're handling the homeless. I have a problem with the fact that the answer is Jesus Christ, and we're not seeing that answer pushed. So I addressed every single one of the issues. This is why I do what I do. Here's why I teach what I teach. I think everything I've done that he has a beef with is godly. And he's also mad because I'm a non-Trump voter hater. I'm not a non-Trump voter hater. If you didn't vote for Trump, good for you. You made your own decision. Hopefully you were well informed. You prayed about it and you felt that was the right decision. I still feel it's a wrong decision. Me personally, I wouldn't vote for Kamala Harris. I wouldn't vote for somebody that promotes division, promotes homosexuality, and promotes abortion. No way. No way. Why? Because I'm a Christian. I'm not going to embrace those values. Do I think Trump's the best man I've ever seen? No, but he's certainly the best candidate I've ever seen, and he's certainly doing a good job. Now, you may not like him, and that's not my goal, isn't to make you a Trump guy. My goal is to make you think and to walk according to your identity. And according to God's truth. Do you see that? That's why I do what I do. Some of you have not been comfortable with my style. I talk to you from the hip. I do a fireside talk, go through the word, and then I try to teach you the word, but I do it in a casual, conversational manner, which to you seems like he's all over the map. Not all over the map. I got notes. My notes. If you want copies of my notes, I can give you copies of my notes. You won't be able to follow them either. But but my point is, I believe that I'm walking in the Spirit. I pray. I bathe this place in prayer. I seek the Lord. I work the Word. I work it hard. I don't come to this casually. My dream for the way is that we might be united in Christ. We might know our identity, and we might go out there. And I always say, go out there and play, because when you know who you are and you're walking in that, it is fun. Because you see that the enemy can't even touch you. He can try. You're going to have some pushback, but man, you got authority. And so I want you guys to know who you are. And I want you to use your gifts. I want less of this and more of this. That's why we're doing Koinonia. That's why we're doing life groups. Because you're the ministers. I'm the coach. Get it? That's my dream. That's my dream. That's why I do what I do. And I know that's the same for the elders. That's exactly what we're about. We want to train and equip you for works of service that you might minister one to another. We might all grow up into unity of the faith and unity in our walk with God and come to maturity and the full stature of Christ. You want the full stature of Christ? Start using your gifts. How are you going to learn about your gifts? Go to your life group. Give them a try. And I listed last week 21 gifts that I see in Scripture. There's more, but 21 that you can see very clearly. Go do them. Some of you will do them naturally. Gift of hospitality, the gift of giving, the gift of wisdom, the gift of administration. You got those gifts and you're using them. You don't even know it. You're walking in the Spirit. Use those gifts. Have fun. We are getting ready. This is a brand new year. We got a lot going on this brand new year. We're doing some housekeeping right here. It is our, I'll get two things. We're doing some housekeeping here. We're setting up. We want you guys to own this ministry. Right now, you know who mows all the lawns? Me and Don. You know who does the painting, the fixing and all that? Well, me and George. And Barry. There's different ones of us. But it's a handful. You know who cleans this place every single week? Shawnee, Judy. Where's the rest of us? And I got to be honest. Judy came to me last week and said, I don't want to clean the men's restroom anymore. It's gross. I'm like, oh, no, I don't want to either. Well, guess who's doing it now? She was doing it. She did it faithfully for how many years? To serve the body of Christ. You don't know that. And I don't mean to highlight that, Judy, but you've done a great job. You ladies have just given, bent over backwards. And there's many more of you. So if I didn't mention your name or said, who cares? You'll lose your reward. but God is blessing through you. This is going to be the year you own this ministry. You step up to the plate and go, yeah, I am a believer, and that is my church, and I am part of that body. Listen, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, when you get that, Dave got it by reading this one book, realize his identity, realize our identity. It's mind-blowing and life-changing to realize what the bride really is. We'll get into that. We're going to teach the bride. I've heard this so many times. I just can't believe we're still in Ephesians. I can't believe. You know, we never get anywhere. He says the same thing. You don't even get what I'm teaching. Why do I have to reteach it? And if I ask you what I'm teaching or ask you to tell me about your identity in Christ, you can't. So I'm not a very good teacher, or you're not a very good listener, or we need more time. So when I go through the book of Ephesians, my goal isn't to go Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and work through the books. That's not my goal. Right now we're in Ephesians. Why? Because that's where the identity of the Christian is. That's where the identity of the church is. And everything we just recapped almost seemed new again. And that took months. I just talked to a pastor the other day who's going through 2 Peter. He's on chapter 2. 3 years to get to chapter 2. Why? Because if you're serious about the word, every single word in there is pregnant with depth and meaning. And with Jesus, it's all Jesus. Why would you be concerned about distance when it's depth that we're after? Not distance. This is not a race. We want to get deep with the Lord. We want to know what he's saying there. We don't want to skim it. We want to dig deep. It says, be a workman of the word, able to rightly divide the word of truth. Get in there. It says the word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, able to judge the thoughts and intentions and divide between soul and spirit and joint and marrow. What is all that stuff? That's what the word of God is. You want to change? You want to be changed? You want to be transformed? You better get into the word of God and don't fight it. Know it. Walk in it. Let the teachers do their job. It is him who gave some to be apostles and evangelists and prophets and pastor teachers for the equipping of the saints. I am a gift to this body, whether you like it or not. And God called me from far away to come here, and I believe that really was the call of God. I'm thankful to be here. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going away. God's going to have to do something mighty to do that. And I'm here to train and equip the saints. And so we're going to do this thing. I'm going to shepherd this flock. I'm going to pastor this body. And not me alone. We've got these wonderful elders. We're a team. And we work it hard. We spend a lot of time together. Don lives a little farther away, so I don't have as much access. I want more. Dave, unfortunately, sorry, I see almost every day. And I almost demand we get together because we need to beat the stuff off each other. Now, we were working out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and after workout, often we would just go to a coffee shop and just talk about what's God doing in our heart, what's he doing in our church, what's he doing among our people in our life groups, what's happening, praying, talking, holding you guys up, talking about the future, what's the next thing. Listen, we don't take this lightly. This guy's retired, and he's putting in more work here than he's ever put in. He's retired. I'm retired, and I'm putting in more work. You know, you retire at 65. He's retired. He's putting in all this time and energy and traveling 30 minutes every single time. Not hesitant to do so. Now, there are others of you that are very, very gratefully serving so fantastically. I'm not here to give out medals. I'm here to tell you God is working, and we have a great body. What is required? Well, it's really simple. Well, the same thing I said in a letter 2 weeks ago. Just come and meet with the elders. You got a beef? Come and talk to us. If you think I'm in sin, come and talk to us. If you think I'm a false teacher, come and talk to us. That's how it works. You don't have an option to do it any other way. You certainly don't have an option to gossip or to tick, 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 tick. I caught him the other day in the cry room. I caught him over there snipping and nipping about me. He was not supposed to be here last week. We had asked him as elders, don't come until you've had a meeting with the elders. And yet he came and he didn't like what I was teaching and he began to do his same thing. Yeah, right. It's fun to be around. He's a funny guy and he's a hard worker. He's probably done more for this church body physically than any other single person. He is a worker. You don't even have to mention something twice. You just say, yeah, that it should be nice to get that light fixed. The next day there's a new light fixture and 5 switches, and how did he do that? And he's a blessing to this body. He's very good at that. There are others of you that work just like that, but I'm saying just a blessing and a gift to this body. Not when he's chipping away at the leadership, not when he's chipping away at what we teach, not when he's undermining my relationships with you. And he's called several of you to gripe and complain and tell what he doesn't like. Stop. That's Alexander the coppersmith that Paul called out. Titus says, warn a divisive man once, warn him a second time, and after that, have nothing to do with him. You have a choice. Come and work it out or have nothing to do with me. Not because they don't love you. That's the hope that he'll sooner or later go, I love you guys. I want to be a part of this. I love you guys. To bring him back to the fold. Okay, what do I have to do to be back to the fold? Well, meet with the elders. Work through our differences. Now, you can have differences all day long with me. And many of you do. And that's okay. But don't go calling people up and going, I hate this about Mike or I don't like this. Mike, shut up. That's not me saying it. That's Paul. In those terms, shut up. Stop it. That's demonic. Don't divide the body. You got a beef? Come and talk to us. If nothing changed, if we didn't agree with you, but we're going to continue on forward, that's all right. Have you ever gone to other churches where you disagree with some of the stuff? Have you ever been to a perfect church? No. Have you ever seen a perfect pastor, perfect elders? No. There's going to be stuff that rubs you wrong. And that's okay. I want to get along with you too. I don't think everybody has to walk in lockstep with my position on anything. But I do want to teach you why I have that position and how you can get there too in the Word. It's about the Word, okay? That's what we're about. Unity based on the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit and through love. That's it. That's the whole thing. So what does you need to do? I talked to him this morning. He dropped off a quiche for me. I love his quiche. Have you ever had just quiche? Now, real men don't eat quiche, but I pretend like I like it because, you know, I'm a real man. And I can't believe how much I love his quiche. So he dropped one off, and then he texted me and said, hey, I hope you got the quiche. And I said, thanks. I love you so much. I look forward to us getting past this thing.
come and meet with the elders. He goes, okay. Now, he showed up last week having already agreed that he's going to meet with the elders, that he's not to come here until he works this through. Otherwise, he's going to spill his vile bitterness. And the Bible says, do not let a root of bitterness grow up among you, or it will defile everybody. He's defiling. He's having little hallway talks and parking lot talks. No. If you don't like it here, find another place. But you can't chip away and tear up the church. Okay? So if you're doing that, find another church where you like your pastor and you like your elders. And I'm not saying I have to be your best friend. If you don't buy into what we're teaching, stick around for a while. Let's study the word. It may take a while, but be willing to be taught. Be willing to be in conversation. If you're not willing to do that, you're going to have a tough time being here. It's going to rub you really wrong, and it's going to make you bristle. And if you bristle, you're going to barf all over the body. We don't want that. So we're doing all this because we love that bride we started off talking about. We love the body. This is Christ. It's Him in human form right now. And that's why we want to use those gifts. We want to be Christ. We want to build each other up. Are you following me? This is a tough talk, and I know it, okay? And I know not all of you agree with what I'm saying, and I know you have deeper questions. I don't want to go into very much detail. You get the gist of everything. Now, we decided to do this as we were massively reluctant, but we realized, though this could backfire, we don't think it will, we believe that this is God's design. He says, if somebody's causing division, have nothing to do with them. But then he tells how to get back in graces. You know, Matthew 18, the whole principle of walking there. We're going to do that. We're doing it. So we want to restore back to fellowship, back to unity. And he can still be, and he can do all the fun stuff that he does. And he can disagree with me. I don't care. That's not my issue, isn't to make you agree with you. My issue is to stop from tearing down the body of Christ by having backroom conversation with people, hoping to win folks to his view. No, no, no. And I'm saying all this to say, but to all of us, this is how you deal with disagreement in God's body. This is how you deal with growing. And let me tell you, growing's not easy. Growing's not easy. Being the Christian that God has called you to be is not easy. If you're sitting back drifting, that's not good. Every day should be exciting with Christ. Every day you should be learning and growing. Every day. And if you're not, getting in a life group. And if you're not, come and meet with one of us. We'd love to disciple you. And if you're not, read some of those books the pastors and elders put out there for you to read. They're challenging. Well, why should I read books? All I read is the Bible. You do read other things. You do listen to other people, or you listen to podcasts. What's the difference? The same thing. And you are growing. I've had 4 different people tell me, well, all I read is the Bible. No. And then I find they're reading a bunch of other stuff or listening to so-and-so. Listen, other people can teach you. Your pastor can teach you. Your elders can teach you. If all you listen to the Bible, why do you come here? Because you believe that God speaks through his body. He speaks through leadership, and he can teach you something, right? So you read a book, you take the meat, spit out the bones, you learn to discern. You'll learn to discern. If something comes up that's way different than what we thought, come and say, hey, what's the deal here? He says this, you say that. I don't get it. Good, let's figure that out. And there's a lot of things that some of my favorite teachers just don't get. They're still teachers I admire and I adore, but they're wrong, in my opinion, on certain things. For instance, the gifts. I believe all the gifts are in effect today. There's a lot of people that believe that they ceased when the Bible was written. When that which is perfect comes, these gifts will... You think the Bible's perfect? Not unless you're Hebrew and you can read it in its original writings. Then I believe so. But it's been translated. And we're doing the best we can with the tools that we have and the scrolls that we have, but it certainly isn't perfect. Well, what is that which is perfect? That would probably be Jesus. So all the gifts are going to be at work until... Why do we need the gifts when Jesus shows up? I don't need a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. I don't need healing. He is it. He is my... Why do I need it anymore? They'll pass away. So until that, come on, man. I believe the Bible teaches about those gifts, and it's very clear that they're available to us. Let's do it. Let's walk in those gifts. Let's see God manifest himself. Let's not resist him. Let's not cut him off. We're going there. We'll teach more about that. We got to go through Ephesians 4, 5, and 6, oh man. 5, all about the family. It's all about relationships. 6 is about spiritual warfare and how you stand against the enemy. You got to stand. Then we can move on. But that's a whole package deal. Who we are, how we're unified, why we are. Ephesians 3, where God's amazing, look at this. 4 is how we need to stay unified because the enemy's coming at us. 5 is how that affects our family and relationships. 6 is how the enemy wants to destroy this and how you are fully equipped to stand against the enemy. Ha, that's exciting. I'm not going to go slow through that. I want you to know who you are. I want you to stand firm, and I want to see just tremendously gifted, mature Christians here and watch those doors as we're flooded with people who want to know this stuff. And I believe we're at the very beginning. This is a brand new year. It's a brand new beginning, and of all things that God would have us deal with discipline the very first week of the new year. Why? Because this is where we're going. There'll be more, and I don't mean to point out, we love that guy. He's phenomenal. He'll be back because I believe he's tender. I believe the Lord's working in his heart. We love him. We're not trying to make a point, but we're making a point of the enemy and how he works among those we love. Get thee behind me, Satan. That's where we're going. If you want to see how this is dealt with, go to Romans 16. Very important. 17 and 18. Very important. Go see that. See Titus 3, 10 and 11. Go see it. I was going to give that all to you. You don't need it. I've gone far enough. All that I'm talking to you about, and it's long and you're getting tired, all that I've talked to you about is very important. It's very foundational. It's dealing with a tough thing. How many of you were lucky enough to be here last Sunday and watched and I hash it out? Was that pretty? Was it uncomfortable? It was disgusting. It was terrible. It was terrible. And both of us thought we could get our point across. Not going to happen that way, ever. You ever see me doing that again, just grab my ear and say, no, it's not what we're doing. Okay? Sometimes I'm just an idiot, and I don't hear very clear, and I get caught up in these things thinking, come on, we can work it out. We can work. That's not how it works. It happens through grace and love and time. So don't let me do that again. Okay? I apologize to you, to the Lord, to the body. It's not good. I don't want to do it again, ever. Right? Pray for me. Hold me accountable. And the kid's like, what's going on? Okay, we're wrapping up. You guys are super duper patient. We're going to have a Monday night meeting tomorrow night. We're going to take all of our life groups and bring them here. You're already committed to that time slot. So tomorrow night, 6:30, so everybody can make it. 6:30, it's an open forum discussion about what we talked about here. If you want clarification, we can do that there. If you want prayer, we can do that there. Plus, we're going to talk about some vision for the new year and how you fit into that picture. And we're very excited. Then there's a business meeting coming up, and we got to talk about that. We need a roof on that building. We have the funds. We're not here to do a fundraising thing. We want you to know that we have funds, and we must use them. Or should we put those funds elsewhere? We're going to talk about some options. And please know this. We work hard to pray about this church. We work hard to try to grow the ministry here, to grow you, and to protect you. That's what we're doing. Now, we have this wonderful facility. We have this wonderful grounds. We have that wonderful facility. And we want to use that to the Lord's glory. But if that stuff ever becomes an albatross that is sinking this ship, gone. We don't need it. We need the Holy Spirit. These tools are wonderful, but if they ever become so burdensome to us that they're tearing the church apart, you know how church has been torn apart by what color carpet you put down? All right, guess what? Buy carpet. We don't care about that stuff. We care about meeting with one another, knowing each other, using the gifts. And we have the Early Childhood Development Center in the parsonage, which is sad. Wish that hadn't ever happened, but that's a good home for the pastor. We need to decide what we're going to do about living in trailers. That's not our great desire, but we definitely are willing to do that for the sake of this body, to save costs and to be here on site. I love being on site. But if we can get into that building, it's going to cost us some time and energy and money to remodel it. They put $60,000 into tearing down all the walls and stuff and turning it into an office place, a classroom. It's got to be restored. So if we want to go there, woo! We're going to need some wisdom, some guidance, some money, and some energy. So we're going to need to talk about that. There's a lot going on. And we also have to deal with permits and restrictions and what is allowed. We thought we could have the farmer's market right here, so easy. Nope. City's against that. Why? We don't get it. Doesn't make any sense to us, but that's bureaucracy for you. But we're still praying, and maybe we'll get it there. Right, Ray? Won't that be wonderful if we could? That could be such a ministry to this community through this body. And we can reach people right here. I mean, if the Lord would give that to us, that would be wonderful. I hate to see that land sitting, don't you? And we can't use it. We can't even do Wolfpack. That was illegal based on their rules. It's kind of don't ask, don't tell. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's easier to ask forgiveness than it is permission. Sometimes you just do what you're going to do and see if they go, no. Don't signal them. Hey, I think I'm going to, no, just do it. I've read the rules. It seems like it works. If you interpret them differently, so be it. That's where we're going. What are you doing? I thought it was heaven. Like, do you guys hear that? I think I'm being sucked up. That's funny. Well, let's do close. Would you stand with me? And the reason I ask you to stand with me is that's a sign of unity. You don't have to stand. You're going to stand? I heard everything crack, or was that the chair? I want you to stand with me in unity. If you want, hold hands with the people across the aisle. We're not a divided church. Hold hands, grab these people's hands, and let's stand in unity as one body and stand against the enemy and stand asking God to do a miracle here. We want to see the back fully restored and them growing in Christ. Right? Does that make sense? All right. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for all that you're doing. Thank you for this body who has sat through this long discussion, has heard a lot of stuff. Help us take that stuff to heart, sift it through your spirit, through the word. We look forward to whatever you're going to do tomorrow night. And I look forward, I want so much for us to all be in cahoots and pulling together in the same harness. We love you, Jesus. We love the fact that you see us as your bride, your one and only, your betrothed, your beloved. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you called us out of darkness into light. Thank you that though we were yet sinners, you died for us. And then you transformed us. You made us saints and you called us your beloved. Oh, that could mean something to us. That could make sense. And that we can all grow in that image, in that power and who we are. Thank you for this wonderful body that you've called my wife and I and family here, Lord, to minister to. Wow. It really is a privilege. It's an honor and it's a joy. And as we walk through this little bit of a desert time, we pray that we come into the promised land of your glory as we stand against the work of the enemy and we exalt the work of Jesus Christ. We love you and praise you in his holy name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, what you need to do now is what? Go play.